Getting back to our program here, we were talking with Ricardo in the first half of the program. We ran out of time. We were talking about UFOs, aliens, and things of that nature. It's one of the things that, as he pointed out, we mentioned in some of our promos that we talk about all sorts of things, including this. And I was talking about how the Bible says that we have two types of sentient beings that God created. Sentient being beings being those that are intelligent, self-aware, and also have an awareness of God. And in the spiritual realm, it's angelic beings. In the physical realm, it was human beings. And it's my personal opinion, and I'm going to stress that, it's my opinion, that God intended for human beings to expand and fill explore throughout and travel throughout the physical universe. And we were talking about that. And if that's the case, then that would preclude any other sentient beings out there. And that would also explain why the universe is so big and why there's other places out there. Let me give you an analogy here before we get back to the angelic being side of things. Here's an analogy. Human beings were placed in an area generally around the Middle East. And after the flood, and the world was altered in its geography quite a bit, and the continents as we know them had risen and moved into their places. And man, when they got off the ark around the mountains of Ararat, which would be in northern Turkey, northwestern, I guess you could say, Iran, somewhere up around there, then they were to spread out through the world. And as they spread to various parts of the world, as they spread up into Asia and throughout Asia and down into the Indian subcontinent and down into Australia and the islands of the Pacific, and as they spread up in through Europe and also down into Africa and then eventually over to the Americas and the islands of the Atlantic and all that, as they traveled places, they found places that they could live, places where plants were growing that they could use for food, animals were growing that they could use for food and various purposes, and God provided things before man got there. And it may be that he's done something like that in other parts of the universe. So the idea of God having placed life forms in other parts of the universe, that doesn't bother me, because I think it would be DNA-based life forms, most likely, but it would be things designed so that when man expanded to those areas, they would have found things for food and things that they could do with them and use them for various purposes. Now, let's go beyond that again. I was talking with Ricardo, and Ricardo, are you still with us?
Yes.
Right, and you had asked about whether or not they could be, that these alien beings with these UFOs could be fallen angels or what we would call demons, right?
Right, right, because my main thing was, like I said, I didn't believe in all the UFOs flying and stuff like that, but the main thing was that, like, you know in the Bible where it mentions that when Jesus went out to the desert for 40 days, mm-hmm. and he was approached by Satan and said, I think there was one scripture where he said, you know, I showed him, took him up high and showed him, like, the world, basically, and said, I'll give you all this if you, you know, fall down and worship me. And Jesus told him that, you know, get out of my face.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my thing is, did Satan actually have those things to offer? And if he did, how is that going on today? How is he able to approach people or, you know, manipulate, you know, people willingly?
Right.
Actually doing that, and is it possible?
Yeah, well, you know, if you'll notice that Jesus never reproached Satan for offering him the nations of the world or the kingdoms of the world. He didn't reproach him, because when Adam and Eve sinned, when Adam sinned specifically, sovereignty of the world was transferred really into the hands of the devil. But he serves as sort of an under-ruler over this world. He's described in the Bible as the God of this world, the prince of the powers of the air. And he does have certain sovereignty, but ultimately it's under the authority of God, and it's only temporary. And God will take it back from him. And that's part of what's going to happen during the tribulation period. So there was no reason for Jesus to worship Satan, which would be the undoing of God, to get God to sin like that, because that would be a violation of God's law that you should not worship anything or anybody other than God himself. And so if God were to have, you know, Jesus, God in the flesh, were to have worshiped Satan, that would have been the undoing of God. So, of course, that wasn't going to happen, and there was no need for it, because God is going to take the kingdoms back from Satan, and Satan eventually is going to be confined to the first the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and then later to the lake of fire for all eternity. So, and right now, of course, he does have the ability, and this gets into some of our alien encounter stuff that people hear about from time to time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says this, starting verse 13 here. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Now, notice this closely in verse 14. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So we see that the devil and his followers, and many of these would be other angelic beings that have fallen and become what we would call demons or devils, and they transform themselves into angels of light, and they try to fool people. And one of the ways that I'm convinced that they try to fool people today is by disguising themselves as beings from another world, another dimension, things of that nature. And anybody that's read the UFO literature for long comes across the cases of people being abducted. And probably one of the first really big ones was the Barney Hill. I'm trying to think what his wife's name was. Betty, I think it was Betty and Barney Hill. And that was one of the big ones. And what most people don't realize is that in many of these cases where there's been abductions or a wave of UFO activity, it also corresponds to a wave of occultic activity, where there are people who are getting involved in occultic activities, satanic worship and things like that. And there is some evidence that Betty and Barney Hill themselves were involved in some of that stuff. And so it's the devil's desire to deceive people and keep people from knowing the truth and from believing the Bible, and because he wants people to be condemned to an eternity away from God rather than to be able to find God and go to be with the Lord by having their sins forgiven. So people doubt the Bible, and there's various ways through cult and things of that nature, and through UFOs. And you'll get these UFOs that appear, and it's kind of interesting that when people communicate with alien beings, supposedly, whether supposedly face-to-face or in some kind of altered state, UFO beings, these aliens, are reluctant to talk about religion. But when the subject of religion comes up, the only religion that they seem to have anything against is the Judeo-Christian type of religion. It's also very interesting. This there's a great book out there I encourage people to read called Alien Intrusion by Gary Bates. This book is an eye-opener for a lot of people who haven't studied much in this. Gary Bates is a Christian. I've also read a similar book by a non-Christian who's a paranormal investigator, and he arrived at some of the same conclusions that Gary Bates, the Christian writer, did. And he analyzes the UFO phenomenon in light of the Bible. But with the abduction, the alien abduction phenomena, you know, remember the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind? That's supposed to be the alien abduction. And what people say, and this is what happened in the Barney and Betty Hill story, they were abducted, they were brought into this examining room, and they were examined by aliens, and then they had time, a certain amount of time disappeared, and their memory disappeared, and under hypnosis it came back, and they found marks on their bodies and all this sort of thing. Well, the general consensus in the UFO community is that when somebody's involved in an alien abduction incident, nothing can stop it. But there's something that virtually everybody who's studied alien abductions knows happens, but doesn't want to talk about and doesn't want to admit publicly, and that's that alien abductions are frequently stopped by somebody calling on the name of Jesus Christ. Now, why, if somebody is an alien visitor from Alpha Centauri and they've traveled across light years of space and they don't believe in God and all of that, and they abduct somebody and they're hauling them off to their spacecraft or even starting an experiment on them, and the person says, "Jesus, save me," or they say, "Stop in the name of Jesus Christ," all of a sudden they wake up back in their bed or wherever they were. There was one case I remember reading about where a guy was in bed, and a couple was in the bed, guy and his wife, and one of the two had the whole thing happen, you know, the lights and the sounds and the gray aliens coming into the bedroom and then sort of levitating them out the door and into a spaceship and onto an examining table and started this thing. And they cried out, something along the lines of, "Jesus, save me." And all of a sudden they woke up. They were laying in their bed. They had never left their bed. The other person in bed with them, when woken up, said, woke up and said, "Well, you've been here the whole time. You never left," which suggests that it all took place in the mind. And the devil has the ability to plant thoughts in our mind and to read our thoughts. A lot of people say, "Oh, the devil can't read your thoughts," but he can. We have helmets that fighter pilots can use that can read your thoughts, so you can tell it to arm missiles and target the missiles and shoot the missiles and things of that nature. So, for those reasons and many others, I believe that the alien phenomena is for the most part manifestations of fallen angels trying to trick people and deceive people and to take them away from God and the Word of God and not believe the Bible. And but the vast bulk of them are just misunderstood things. So we kind of spent a little bit of time on that. As you can see, it's kind of an area that I got a little interest in myself.
All right.
But I hope that helps out, Ricardo. I got a number of other callers calling in yet tonight.
Sure, man. I appreciate all your time and all your words.
Hey, I appreciate the call. I don't often get asked that question. It's kind of interesting to chat about a little bit. But I encourage you, if you want to follow up more on this, you can go on to Amazon.com or something like that. I don't get any money for recommending it. Just the information, Alien Intrusion by Gary Bates. You will appreciate it if you take the chance to read that. That's Alien Intrusion by Gary Bates. If somebody goes to our website, I've actually got that listed on the left-hand side of books that I recommend. And that's our website for the program, live.maplenoll.us.